All right. So if you are with us today, joining us, we have been, we are actually wrapping up. This is the last day of a four-part series called Eyes That See, Eyes That See. And so I think Alex last week talked about seeing the kingdom of God. Amen. And I trust that he did a great job. I'm super impressed with Alex. I don't know if you are or not. I really love Alex. He's a good thinker. He's a spiritual man. We're pretty blessed and really grateful that Cassie, she went out and brought home a good one for us. Amen. It's good. It's really good. Amen. Thank you, Cassie. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so I did want to say that, you know, we hope to be able to appoint more elders. I do want to make something clear. I am not an elder. I think sometimes it's a little in vogue to call me pastor. Biblically, the word pastor, elder are the same. I am not a pastor. I'm not a pastor. I do pastoral work for sure. And I'd say the last 5 years have been full of a lot of pastoral work, but I am not a pastor. I'm not an elder. Okay. That may be shocking for some of you. Okay. What I am is a lead evangelist. That's what I am. That's what you hired me to do, the work of an evangelist. Amen. And of course, for a number of reasons, now I've done lots of pastoral work and I will do that. Every time I try to lose my pastoral hat, it just sort of ends up back in front of me somewhere. I also do teaching, but I'm not a teacher either. Amen. I'm an evangelist. I just want to make that clear. And I say that because I don't want to minimize the role of an elder. You start calling me an elder, you're bringing the road down. Amen. There are a number of reasons. You know, Tate gave me a vision a couple of years ago. He said, "Brother, I think you're going to be an elder." I'm like, "Well, amen. Your lips to God's ears." Amen. We'll see if that ends up happening, but that is not the role I serve in now. The role I serve in now is an evangelist. And at the end of the day, part of my role is to obviously help form us or shape us, all of us, into the image of Christ, to help us biblically do that. And then to point us outward. Amen. To point us outward. And so that is a little bit of my task, my role. And that's why you hired me. If you didn't know why you hired me, you might have thought you were hiring me because I was cool, I was a good preacher. Whatever reason you thought it was, okay? I'm just kind of making it clear, amen, that is sort of it. Go to the next slide for me. And so we're finishing up this campaign, Eyes That See, next slide. And so we're going to wrap it up here today with See What You Can Do. See What You Can Do. And so we're going to be in a very familiar passage to us in Matthew chapter 28. Imagine that, amen? Matthew 28. And so my goal here today, my challenge here today, is to remind us of some things that I know we already know, but honestly, to point us outward a little bit. Amen? Amen. Amen. And you'll find that typically when I preach, I'm trying to point us outward, okay? I believe God has blessed us tremendously. We actually hope to someday even be able to appoint some teachers in our church. We have some really capable men and that really aspire to such a role. You probably noticed Indu, who has not only gotten himself educated, but also desires such a role. And we have Nathan Hirschberger among us, who's actually written some curriculum that is actually kind of being circulated in our fellowship for middle school ministry, that kind of thing as well. And there, Ed Carr actually was sort of aspiring to that world as well, and he pivoted and wanted to lead a church. So I'm like, amen, that's great, Ed. Go for it, bro. So and then, of course, we had Bill, who we hired in that role of a teacher, but he is moving on now to take on the role of an evangelist in the church in Kansas City. Ron Hammer comes in with a lot of credentials, education, and I talked to Ron about being a teacher. He's like, no. He's like, you know, he says, I do not want to sit around and talk about if God's female and all this other stuff. So anyway, these are some of the topics that end up coming up. So anyway, we'll see. Over time, he may aspire to such a thing, okay? So anyway, that's just a little bit of that. Okay, but we're going to look here in Matthew chapter 28, a very familiar passage if you've been around our church a little while. And the title of our sermon here today is See What You Can Do. Verse 11. While the women were on their way, and we know this is after the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You ought to say his disciples came during the night, stole him away while he was asleep. If this was reported, if this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." We know this passage as the Great Commission. And many of us have heard this. This passage, it emerges from the scriptures, sort of like this profound calling, if you will. And it sort of encapsulates everything that God is. That God, since humanity blew it, since the first time we made that mistake in the garden, God has been on a mission, a fierce mission to bring people back to him, to draw them in a relationship with him. And he used one nation of people. And of course, sometimes they got a little distracted and thought it was about them. Imagine that. Okay. They thought it was only about them, but God was using them to be a beacon of light for the world, that they would show how great and merciful and kind and gracious and awesome God is. And he had the discipline at times. There were times when they got a little sidetracked and went off course, and God had to sort of discipline them and send them into captivity. But ultimately, God had a plan to use that one nation of people to draw all men to himself. And we see that in the book of Acts, right? All nations coming together. And Jesus had, he prophesied, he said it was always God's plan. Even when he scattered humanity in Genesis, scattered them, confused their languages, it was always his plan to bring them back together, to bring us together as one, not for us to be scattered and only focus on our differences and how we're not alike, but it was that Jesus, because of God Almighty, would draw all men to himself. I mean, this is deep stuff. I mean, this passage is it's full of theological depth, but it's also full of practical directives. This passage, it shapes the identity and the purpose of disciples of Jesus. It shapes who we are. We either are these people that have been called on this mission by God Almighty. We are either joining God Almighty in what he cared more about, and that is saving humans. Either we're on board with that, or we're just kind of, what? Focus on our own little kingdom. I appreciate Josiah drawing attention to that. But this passage, it says who we are. It gives our life meaning. And you know, when we are on mission, when we are engaged in mission, our lives are full. Yeah. Aren't they so full? And for some of us, you go, oh, you know, we're going back on mission. Well, we never got off mission. We're always supposed to be on a mission. Amen. Which is why even this month, this is the month of missions for us. We'll be collecting our missions contribution at the end of this month, because we want to do God's work regionally. We got work to do here locally, but we want to do regionally around the heartland. So we'll be giving money to our heartland region for our campus ministries and for the work in Lincoln, Nebraska, and any other church we want to plant around the region. We give those dollars annually as a church because we really do want to see the gospel be spread. Not only in our Jerusalem, but in Judea and to the ends of the earth. Amen. Judea is the region and the ends of the earth. And so we give money to the work in Eurasia. We work and we contribute dollars that goes to Eurasian missions so that we can support our brothers and sisters in Russia. Amen. But we also, in a few years ago, we picked up the work in Liberia, Africa. So we give dollars to Liberia, Africa, and our money goes a long way in Liberia, Africa. Amen. And so we, as of today, we're at about $54,000 collected for special missions. We're about a third of the way to our goal. Our goal is $150,000. And so God will bless that, whatever we end up collecting. And you guys have spoiled me. We always come through. So I'm a little bit spoiled. You know, my faith can be weak, but you just always come through. Amen. Well, you're not saying amen. So I'm a little bit. That was the moment when you go, amen, bro. You're just testing my faith. Amen. Aren't you? But I do know that when I talk to our brothers and sisters in Russia or wherever they are, the one thing they always want to ask is, how's the church doing? How you doing there? Are you making disciples? We appreciate the money you give, but we don't, you know, they want relationship as well, but they really want our churches to grow. They don't want us to give to the point where we can't do our work here. And I usually say, bro, unfortunately, in America, we have a lot of money, way more money than we probably need. And I'm not saying that everyone in here has lots of money. I'm just saying as a country, we got a lot of money, amen? And God's got a lot of money, amen? But we can more than support the work we want to do locally, amen? We're to the point now where we're thinking about adding bathrooms, amen? You see what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? We're going to add bathrooms, amen? And we got brothers and sisters, man, they don't even have running water in some places, amen? So anyway, we're grateful, we're blessed, amen? But we are part of this thing that God started. We're part of this thing that God cares about so deeply. And if I said this once, I've said it maybe 1,000 times, God cares so much about people that he would come down and he would die, give his life for them. That's how much he cares about people. He cares so deeply. So let's get to this passage here, okay? The Gospel of Matthew, likely written, right? Written in the first century. And it intended to present Jesus as the Jewish Messiah, okay? And a teacher greater than Moses. Matthew 28:18 through 20, it sort of concludes the gospel with Jesus' post-resurrection appearance to the 11 disciples on the mountain of Galilee. And the mountain is incredible. As you read through the Bible, great things always happen on mountains. Okay, Mount Moriah, Mount Sinai. It's where people had encounters with God. It's where they went to meet with God. It's where people went and experienced God in a different way. And we like to often say mountaintop experience for a reason, amen? So I love that this scene as Jesus calls his disciples, meet me at the mountain. I don't think he had to say much. He says, just meet me at the mountain. They go, we know what mountain. We know exactly what mountain he's talking about. So they meet him. They meet him at the mountain. And then Jesus lays out something amazing. He says, I have all authority. He says, I have all authority. I've been given all authority. All authority. Which is something that humans are fighting for constantly. Power, authority, control. Jesus says, I have it all. It's been given to me. And it really kind of harkens back to a verse in Daniel chapter 7, verse 14. This is a prophecy about the Son of Man. It says this, he was given authority, Daniel is prophesying, glory and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed, and the church said. As Jesus on the mountain, he's saying, do you remember what Daniel said? Do you remember what he prophesied about? Prophesied about me. I have all authority. of all power. And all the nations, they will worship. They will worship me. They will. My dominion, it will be all over, and it will last forever. He says, but I not only have authority over heaven and earth. I have authority over the physical and the spiritual. Amen. Jesus said, I have all authority over the physical and the spiritual. You need not worry. I am in control of all things. This is deep. This is powerful. You can imagine the disciples, they're going up to that mountain. A little sheep is like, well, you know, he died and we kind of got a glimpse of him. He walked through a wall and we're just a little bit insecure. And now these prophecies all start making sense that he's going to go and not be with us. And so they're a little unsure. They are unschooled, ordinary men being left with an incredible task. I imagine they approached that mountain very sheepish. But then Jesus says, fear not. I have all authority. I have all power. The world will battle over power. They will struggle for control. They will be confused about the spiritual and the physical, but I am in control of all things. And so he says, I want you to go. This is then he commissions. After he tells them where the power comes from, then he commissions them, I want you to go. Now, if I'm the disciples, I'm like, Jesus, I don't know, I'm not quite ready. You know, this whole you being crucified was pretty traumatizing. I mean, that was pretty rough. I've been through a lot. We've been through a lot. And this was rough, but we're going to. Can we just have a little while? Jesus goes, yeah, you can. Go. Jesus, can we just get a few years? Can we get a little bit more teaching, a little bit more training? Go. We don't even know how we're going to go. Listen, trust me, the Spirit will come, but you go. I want you to go. And I want you to make disciples of all nations. You know, the Greek word for go here, you know this. It doesn't mean like, it means as you go. Like as you're going, as you're about your daily life. It doesn't mean, you know, I got to drop everything, put everything down. No, I got to go and be a disciple today. You know what I mean? I got to go and be a Christian, you know, and now I got to go back to work. You know what I'm saying? No. It's saying as you go. As you're on your way, as you are out and about, as you are, as whatever you got going on, go. And I love that it's not a whole lot of specifics. Like, you know, I think God is open to whatever it takes, short of sin. It's just make it happen. Amen. There's not a whole lot of specifics here. Like, when you go, make sure you no, just go. Go and make disciples. Make disciples. This verb, it's the primary task of disciples. The term disciples, it refers to learners or followers. It implies sort of a process of teaching and of growth. It is our primary reason that we're still here. It is to be making disciples. It is, as I said a few weeks ago, I'm pretty convinced it's the only reason I still have breath in my lungs. You know, I was having a discussion with my girls. Every now and then we have a little sit-down talk, conversation, daddy-daughter talk. And we're having a conversation about some friends. And if you're a parent, you have a moment where you want to talk to your kids about some of their friends, and then your kids want to defend their friends to you. You ever have that happen? Well, you don't understand my friends. I'm just like, look, I've been your age 3 or 4 times already, you know what I mean? You just don't know or understand my friends. My friends are so different. Uh-huh. They're so different. You're right. They are different. Sinful! Okay? So we're having this conversation. I just said to my girls, I said, listen, I don't dislike your friends. I says, but I have one goal when it comes to your friends, and it's a little different than your goal. I want your friends to go to heaven. You may want them to be kind of cool in a band with you or go to Six Flags with you or whatever you want to do with your friends. I just really want your friends and their family to go to heaven. And I want you to remember, that's why we moved to St. Louis. And they go, oh, okay. That's what matters. It's the only thing that's going to matter in the end. And so I don't hate your friends. I don't know them. Pretty sure some of them I don't like, and I got an eye on that one real closely, amen? But at the end of the day, I do want them all to go to heaven, amen? And I've got to stay focused on that. And while I can't make them do that, I just want to make sure you know that that's what I've been called to do. You're on some other trip, you know, and I'll let you do that, but that's what I've been called to do, amen? Amen. Make disciples. Teaching. Growth. And then I love this part, all nations. The universal scope sort of, it breaks down ethnic and cultural barriers. It doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your clique or what your set is or where you went to high school in St. Louis. Amen. I was down in Columbia, Missouri for years. And every time I bumped into a kid from St. Louis, I said, I got to ask you the St. Louis question. They go, what, where'd you go to high school? Well, you know the St. Louis question. You know, they would go, they all knew. Where did you go to high school? But it doesn't matter where you went to high school. None of that matters. All nations. The gospel is inclusive. It's the most inclusive thing ever. It is for all nations, all people. That's right. Those with tattoos, those with backgrounds that are different than yours, those that are marching up and down these streets with these banners of pride or whatever. The gospel is inclusive and everybody needs to hear it. Everyone needs to come to faith. Everyone needs to repent of their sin. And everyone needs to be baptized. Baptism is essential. But it's not just baptism we're after. We're after people who really come to biblical faith. People who really want to repent of their sin. And we are modeling that for them constantly by battling with our own faith and repenting of our own sin. Amen. This is what we've got to do. We got to repent of our sin. I tell you, we got to model that. We got to be honest. I'm struggling in my faith right now. I'm having a hard time sharing it right now. I don't even know what I'm going to share. I don't know how to share it. And maybe your faith only allows you to go, hey, would you come to my church where you might meet somebody who really has strong faith? Maybe that's all you got right now. Amen. Or maybe you got the kind of faith where you go, let's sit down, open the Bible. Let's get into it and mix it up. Let's talk about some of these challenging things. Maybe your faith is there. It doesn't really matter. Jesus says, go. Amen. Go to all nations. Don't just go to just the people. Go to your neighbors, okay? But the more different they are, the better it is. Look around this room. That's right. It's an amalgamation of everything. Look at it. Just look at them. This is the way God likes it. Just soupy, you know what I'm saying? We got all kind of stuff. But all nations, baptizing them. Purification, death, resurrection, new life. Baptize them. Church, we still want to make disciples and we still want to baptize disciples. Let's not lose track of it. Listen, one of the things I said about St. Charles, we're not just opening up new space out in St. Charles. We're not just trying to figure, well, we want to find somewhere convenient for the St. Charles people to go so they don't have to drive all the way over here. Okay? No. We want to reach St. Charles, amen? We want to evangelize and reach St. Charles. We're not just trying to open up something more convenient, amen? Last I checked, when you try to just make things convenient, you actually don't end up making a lot of disciples. It always takes sacrifice, doesn't it? It takes those stories. Man, we used to drive all the way downtown to this funky little building, you know what I mean? From everywhere we went and bringing our guests, waiting for them outside. How did we do that? How did we do that? How do we bring disciples? How do we make disciples? We didn't even know where we were going to be meeting next Sunday. We were literally in church and go, so we don't know where we're going to be next Sunday, but someone will call you. No cell phones. Someone will call you. And everybody showed up. How do you do that, huh? How do you do that? Nobody had a cell phone. You just figured it out. You sometimes had to drive to your guest's home and go, hey, man, I just want you to know. We're going to be at the airport. We're not at the airport, Hilton. Oh, no, we're at the Marriott. We're not at the Marriott. It would change. That's what you get for putting Dan Rice in charge of facilities. Dan was in charge of facility. I'm like, Dan, can't we just get a consistent space, bro? At the Marriott, the Hilton, and Jeff Lamont used to say the Renaissance, you know what I mean? With the Renaissance Hotel. I hated that place, but we were there, amen? I mean, but we got to make disciples. We want to make disciples, amen? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This Trinitarian formula, it is a theological foundation for our faith, amen? It affirms sort of the co-eternity, if you will, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the incredible unity that exists between them. A unity that we have a hard time understanding because in our natural selves, we want to go, well, who's better than who and what's more important and what's more significant? But the unity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it is absolutely a model of what we need to be as a church. Amen. We need to be unified. We need to be in step, on mission, and we're all working together. The Godhead. Isn't that amazing? But that's not just enough to make disciples. Jesus says you need to teach them to obey. Because obedience doesn't come natural, I guess. So you have to teach to obey. It's a continuous instruction. It's necessary for discipleship. It includes sort of all kind of teaching, ethical teachings, parables, commands of Jesus. All of that is important for teaching them to obey. You know, someone once said, we often don't have a problem with making disciples, but it's teaching them to obey in the States is a little bit difficult. Part of that is, right, because we're ruggedly individualistic, amen? I mean, I got this side of me, you know, I'm from the South. I'm like, you don't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do when I want to do it. I got that side of me, you know what I mean? You can't speed me up. Don't boss me around. And when I start feeling pushed, then I get a little bit more hard-headed, amen? Anybody got that in them? For those of y'all didn't raise your hand, y'all just going to sit in church and lie, huh? Sitting in here lying. See, even you not raising your hand was rebellious. See what I'm saying? I ain't raising my hand. Teach them to obey. Teach them to obey. We need to be taught constantly. And this is just a little bit of the teaching. What we do here on Sunday, this is not really the teaching. The teaching is much deeper. It's what's happening in your homes. It's those small groups that we're having. Those are places where we need to be teaching. But we've taken it deeper than that. We should all be in one-on-one relationships with someone where we're working it out, amen? Where we're learning to obey together, amen? And then we have that incredible assurance. He starts with how powerful he is, how strong I am. I have all authority, all the power. But with all of this power, I'm giving you this mission. And I'm telling you, I'm not just sending you on it alone. You are joining what God has always been up to, what God always has cared about. You don't have to do it alone. You're not alone. I'm with you. If you go, trust me, the Spirit, it will be with you. I put it inside you, it will be with you. But I assure you, I am with you always. I am with you always. This is a phrase that tells us that until the end of the age, God's kingdom, it will reign. Jesus, he says, I will reign. That's what Zachary said. We've already won. We already have the victory. And this is powerful. This is incredibly significant. It's good for us to go back to this passage regularly because it helps us to get back on point. Amen. To remember why we're here. To remember Christology. This idea that there's a divine authority in Jesus and his role is sovereign. It rules over heaven and earth. But also our missiology. Sort of this condition, this great commission that is foundational for Christian mission. it mandates that the church, that we engage in evangelism and cross-cultural ministries and engage in those things that are a bit uncomfortable, reaching out. Listen, we're different. We're diverse. And there's going to be problems when you throw a bunch of people that are different together. There's going to be things like that. But isn't that the power of unity? But that Trinitarian doctrine as well, this Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that when we are baptized, we're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And those are not just words. They're powerful. But also this idea that he is with us always, church. You know, the Great Commission, it's inspired a lot of missionary movements over the years. Early church expansion. And I know that a lot of mistakes have been made. But we cannot fail to go because of mistakes made in the past. We cannot sit back and go, well, I'm just not going to go because I don't want to make any mistakes. We have to go. And you know what? More mistakes will be made. Hopefully not the same mistakes, amen. Let's just make different mistakes, amen. And as long as you're alive and you're human, you'll be making mistakes, amen. But there's plenty of grace. When I look around this room, I see grace. I see grace over here. I see grace here. There's grace here. I see nothing but grace. I now understand what Paul says. When he went to the city, he saw the grace of God. He looked around and he went, wow, God saved these people. He brought these people together, but God really is gracious, powerful in every way. So see what you can do. See what you can do. Let's be reminded of the incredible privilege, but also the responsibility that we've been entrusted with as disciples of Jesus. Let's embrace our calling of faith with courage. Let's recognize Jesus' authority over all things and the universal scope of the gospel message. It is intended to go to all nations. Everyone needs it. Everyone needs it. Amen. Let's be committed to teaching one another to obey, helping one another to obey. And as we do this, let's take comfort in the reality that Jesus is continually with us. His presence is with us. It's empowering us. It's sustaining us. It's guiding us. It's prompting us. The Spirit, don't ignore it. It's saying, yes, that person. Yes, her. Yes, him. I know they look different, but do it anyway. But you know, Lord, they won't respond. That's not really the point. Whatever you think the point is, it's not really. Listen to the Spirit. It is moving and it's shaping our lives, so that we can impact the world around us. And to God be the glory. Amen.